Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. 4Play, presented by Barstool Sports. We are in Florida, and we are joined. I don't think you've been on podcasts before, right? Just videos we've done together?
Yes.
We got Harry Higgs, who's on the show. We got a lot to talk about. Obviously, Tiger Woods' video came out. So I know people were begging us to do emergency podcasts, all kinds of crazy shit. Do you have group chats that go nuts when Tiger Woods posts a video like that, like we do?
I guess so. I would say 150 to 200 people Instagram messaged me the video of him.
Really?
People on Twitter, and then I had a couple buddies text it to me. I'm a Tiger nut just like the rest of them.
I get a lot of Instagram DMs as well with that video. And it's like, people are like, did you see this yet? And it's like 12 hours later. It's like, yeah, bro. I definitely saw it. I watched it like 50 times.
Yes.
I got one of my buddies back home, Mike, really nice guy. He's like a 12 to 16 hour later guy where he'll just send us a clip on the group. And I'm like, A, it's like our job. We're as plugged in as you can be most of the time. And B, it's like, dude, if you're not within the first 30 minutes or so, like you're not informing anyone or something.
Unless you're in some dark web crazy shit. I've seen it if you've seen it. Mainstream media, I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I don't know how we could prove this, but I think I was the first person to quote tweet the Tiger video. Because I have...
That's outrageous.
No. All right, I have his alerts on. When he tweets, I know it, and it shows up on my phone.
I have two people in the world that I have alerts on for.
I have only Tiger Woods. Who's your other one?
Dave Portnoy.
You have those on?
Yeah, it sucks. Sometimes he goes on these Twitter tirades, you know? Tweet nonstop.
That's tough.
And so my phone's like that. But I need to know what he's talking about, I feel like.
I get it. But that would stress me out.
It's probably a smart business idea.
But you're right. It is stressful because everyone I think is about me.
That's right. Yeah. That's why it would stress me out. Yeah. But I think I'm the first person to quote the Tiger Woods video because as soon as I got that alert, I just pressed it. My Twitter opened and I quote tweeted it. And that was it. It was 10 seconds after it went out.
Wow. You were 150,000 people late.
Harry, first thoughts when you saw the video?
Looked a little light on his right leg.
Okay.
Looked like we were not there. Looked like he was hitting about an 8-iron and it went about 130, 40 yards.
Not that
technical.
Bad,
like what? Look pure, baby. Like,
so pure.
I mean, I would love to get it into some of those spots. Now, you know, granted, maybe at the speed that he swung it, it would be easier. But it looks like this is happening. I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw him hit a golf ball again for the first time in probably over a year.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it's actually only been 9 months.
Yeah. It was like, oh my God.
He wasn't playing before that. Like, true. It's really almost since the thing with Charlie.
The father-son
deal. Yeah. Crazy. A little less than a year. And just was like, holy shit, he is going to. I just figured the man would just be like, yeah, I'll try, but never really try and just ride off in the sunset and make sure that he can walk and like live a normal life. But
right.
We've seen it before. He's done this, not exactly this, but something similar before. He's just wired a little different. He wants to come back and play and compete, which I love.
Well, he writes the playbook. Everyone tries to compare Tiger Woods like, oh, a 45-year-old man, 47-year-old man, 50-year-old man, wherever he's going to end up being when he ends up eventually winning, which he will. Shout out to Riggs. You called that a year ago. I mean, I think everyone...
I called it the day of the... I tweeted that out the day of the accident.
But you can't compare his trajectory, his life, to anyone else. He gets to write the book. So, like, he will be the first person to get into a car accident driving off a cliff to then win a tournament. Like, you can't compare that to anything else.
And I cannot stand when people do that. And that's been our argument forever is like, well, he had X amount of back surgeries. Well, he had now the car accident. I'm like, but none of those other people that you could compare what happened to them with or Tiger fucking Woods.
Right.
Tiger Woods.
The only comeback you can compare it to is his last one.
That's right.
And it went pretty well.
Is this going to be better than the last one? And I guarantee you he's sitting there thinking like, yeah, I'm going to go get two more majors.
And think about...
He's insane.
The guy doesn't... And, you know, people that have actually played with him, actually known him, that you know, what they say is that he is a golf dork. He's obsessed with golf. That's what he loves, right? Yeah. And he's got $1 billion, he's got all the money in the world. He clearly loves his kids and family. And we've seen all of that with him and Charlie and all those clips. And it was awesome. But outside of that, like when they're at school and stuff for X amount, like what do you think he's doing all day? Like he's thinking about golf. Yeah. Like he wants to play golf. And when he sees Phil Mickelson win a major at 50.
God, did you see Phil's tweet too?
Yeah, so good.
I guarantee you Tiger has that printed out So he sees it every day.
So good.
Every day.
And I'll never forget one of Tiger's keywords in his tweet after Phil won was that it was inspirational. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. If Tiger fucking Woods sees something that's inspirational, that means I'm coming.
Yeah.
And this is the first confirmation that he's coming. Who do you think took the video?
Rob, his
right-hand guy. Robbie Mac.
Yeah. You're a close circle guy there.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it's like if he's like throws his phone to Charlie and he's like, oh yeah, take this video.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They cleared the whole state.
Charlie's an underrated aspect of this because he's clearly extremely skilled and wanting to play at some competitive level. So that's just gonna further, you know, get Tiger out to a golf course, get Tiger wanting to be able to play with his son. I mean, what a shame it would have been if he was robbed of that. Thank God he's not.
Right.
I think Charlie and him playing and wanting to be a part of the game is, I mean, like literally Charlie is benefiting me. Because if Tiger plays, right. I benefit. And if Charlie can get Tiger to play, you're in a winner's winner.
You're like, Charlie, you got to love golf, baby. Dude.
I love you saying, because like we all watch the video and we're just like, oh my God, it's so good that he's like standing on a fairway, hitting a golf, even if like.
I don't care where that ball went. Yeah, right. It doesn't matter.
But you say, like, oh, that club looks like it's getting a good spot, the swing. And that's something we're not picking it up at all. But to hear you say that, like, yeah, a little right on his right leg.
Yeah.
You know, just doesn't have maybe that power or whatever. But to hear that it's still, like, that swing is still there and that path is still there. If he can build just rhythm and a little bit of, like.
Now he's probably just trying to get strong enough to then return to, like, the speeds that he – or close to the speeds.
Yeah. And, you know, like, so I'm in the car. I'm driving an hour and 15 minutes to the airport. We're flying here yesterday. And, you know, I've got my phone and I see the thing and I'm like, oh my God, I start maniacally laughing. I'm like, oh my, it's a fucking video from Tiger. So I quote tweet. We're going nuts on Twitter. And then my buddy, you probably were based on 150th. I was driving. It's dangerous. 150,000. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I almost pulled over, but I didn't. I thought that'd be ridiculous. I didn't want to miss my flight. But me and my buddy Eric, and then we started talking about every aspect of it clearly. And we were like, if he is at the point where he has decided, because of how clearly careful he is with everything that goes out, if he's decided, like, I'm ready to tweet this video out of my swing, like, he is sending a message. Like, that's a certain stage and checkpoint that he got to. That is incredibly exciting. Like, he's not just throwing that out there. If he's like, oh, yeah, we'll see what happens.
I don't know. You never know a Tiger. Like, sure. If you go back at his social media history, it's like, whoa, what are we doing here? But he doesn't need it. He's Tiger Woods. He doesn't need to be good at social media. It doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter. But like, it did seem, I agree, it did seem like, oh, shit, he's coming.
You have a very interesting perspective on this because you're on the tour and you said you're very excited that you love to see it. So, like, what
he's
goes,
coming for your ass.
Right, like, what goes through your mind when you see
bring
something
it, baby.
Like that?
I mean, yeah. All right. Like, I mean, I've had success in my now, you know, 2.5, almost 3 years that, like, I take pride and pleasure in beating the best in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I want that opportunity.
I got a question now. Sunday, Augusta, you got a one-stroke lead. Tiger is tied with you at that one-stroke lead. Now, if he wasn't there, you'd win.
As a tied with you, he has a one-stroke lead.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying if Tiger wasn't there, he'd have a one-stroke lead on the field. Tiger is there. You're dead even with him on the 18th tee. Do you still wish he returned to golf?
No. I'd love to slap it over there just in the right rough and then hit it short of the green. And but, like, no, what a cool opportunity would be. I mean, if you give me the carrot that I'm going to actually have a one-stroke lead on the tee, then I'm taking a one-stroke lead.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's why I play golf, Tiger Woods, why I wanted to play professional golf, Tiger Woods. Like, and you're going to let me, you know, try to birdie the last at Augusta to beat him? I mean –
yeah, because you were growing up and probably becoming obsessed with golf when he was Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I mean, it was appointment viewing every Sunday. I mean, he won every Sunday, but you would just sit and just watch. It was just like, what? I mean, I'm nowhere near this man's level, and this shit should not be that easy. Like, at least some of these guys he's beaten are really good, and most of them now experiencing it, it's like all of them are really good.
Yeah,
and he just made everybody look like they were second-rate citizens. Like, they had no chance.
Do you feel like watching the golf that you watched back then and growing up versus now, like, a lot of people talk about how the fields are just deeper. There's so many guys that are at the top of the game and that could go on a tear at any time. Like, do you feel like it's tougher now to do what Tiger Woods did?
Yeah. I mean, and we've seen it in brief spurts, but no one has been willing yet to go full, like, I don't care about anything else other than, like, winning golf tournaments every week, week in and week out.
Right.
And you get some of the guys. I mean, Rory probably has I would say Rory still has the ability, definitely had the ability, and did it in spurts. But, like, he's – not that Tiger's not normal, but, I mean, he would celebrate his victories, and he would take weeks off, and he would, you know, show up to probably some events not ready to go, and it was just okay, whatever. Like, Tiger didn't celebrate. Tiger right. didn't I mean, he took some weeks. I mean, the guy hardly ever played, actually, on tour,
but he won all the times he played.
Yeah, there's a famous story of him telling Elin, like, right after they got married yeah. and they won, where she was like, "What's gonna we're gonna throw this party after you won the Masters," and he was like, "No, like, we expect to win here. Like,
yeah,
we're on to the next one."
That's like my dad telling me, "I expected you to graduate high school." He expects to win.
Right.
I literally was like, "Dad, are we not throwing a party?" He's like, "No, this was expected of you." Like, Tiger reacted to
you're like, "I don't Masters know."
The same I way
that diploma like four times. Yeah. Psyched it was in there.
Yeah,
Dad, you didn't, some of those like, classes out.
That was
you
4 years, Dad. Like, that was hard.
I did a great job, actually.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Always just kind of wondered that. And then, you know, I mean, so you're going to play in your first Masters, I believe.
Yeah, baby.
Coming up this spring. You earn that with your fourth place finish at PGA.
Yep.
Which was your, was that your first major?
First major.
So your first major, you get a top yeah. five. Why is that? You were just clicking? Is that?
Yeah, not really. I think I'd missed three or four cuts in a row before that. And then,
so you weren't clicking.
No, I mean, but I was progressing, right? Like, there's a difference between just playing poor golf, missing a handful of cuts, and then missing some cuts, but knowing that you are getting a little bit better
right.
and that, like, gosh, if I could just make one of these weekends, literally just give me two more days. Yes, I'll go out and hope to shoot a good score, make more money, but just give me two more days to get better and, like, be able to see what this is like on the golf course. So I didn't have that. And then I just had, like, a weird comfort level. And also, you're just, I probably should look into this that and try to find a way to do this more so every week. But, like, I was just more focused, more intense with it being a major. I mean, I hadn't played in one. I didn't know what to expect, but it's not easy, but it was almost easier that, like, there's so much going on and there's so much on the line that you just worry about the shot that's in front of you. You move the golf ball where it's supposed to go. And for 3 or 4 weeks before that, I was struggling to hit certain shots, and, you know, I'm worried about my swing or, you know, starting my cuts left, you know, or being able to flight it down, whatever it might have been. And that Kiowa, I wasn't really worried about that. It's just like, all right, I got to go out and shoot good scores. And it was just made a little easier being at a major, which is really weird. I need to maybe do a deep dive into that and see why that is, and hopefully pull from that into a normal event.
Do you have, like, a team that you debrief and do those deep dives with?
My brother is my caddy, yeah. And then my coach, Corey Lundberg, and that's it. I mean, this is all – I pay both of them. They're the only ones that I'll listen to. I hardly listen to either one of them anyway.
The brotherly thing, is it ever –
We had a brief clash actually last week. The first one that I had to light into him a little bit.
Okay.
And I mean, I wasn't right. He wasn't right. I wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. But I felt that I just needed to let one rip.
Uh-huh. Sounds like a good brotherly argument.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was this on the course or
off? Oh, yeah, yeah. On the golf course.
So what happened?
So the 10th hole. Sorry, Al, but Al and I have already cleared the air. The 10th hole at Sea Island. Yeah. It's howling into off the left. It's like a 340-yard par 4. I just turned in 3 under, and I was 3 under total. And you pretty much knew the cut was going to be 4. So I got 9 holes to play, you know, 1 under par or better and get myself a weekend tee time just to – Actually, really, I wasn't really trying to get any better. I just wanted to play for 2 more days and cash a check and leave.
That's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, you were tired and we talked through it, and I was like, I want to hit driver here. This flag, the last couple of years, they put it on the right hand side. So you can hit it up there and miss it just right, but then you don't have an angle. Well, this year they put it like front left and there's water all down the left of the hole. It's like, I'm just going to bomb driver. I mean, if anything, the wind's going to take, I'm going to start it down the water. The wind's going to bring it back anyways, blowing like 30. And if anything, it leaks out to the right. It's in the rough, even those trees over there, you know, whatever. I can chip it to the front of the green, make par, go next hole. So I hit, and I hit a, to Al's credit, I hit a horrible golf shot, started way further right, started blowing on the wind, blowing on the wind, blowing on the wind. And it just flies into these trees and it bounces. And then there's kind of what looks like the edge of the properties out there. It's like, God, I no way I hit it out of bounds, you know, off the property there. Whatever, I'll hit a provisional. So I hit a provisional into the fairway and we're walking up and he's behind me, my brother, and I can hear him. And I look over to the right of this cart path and I'm just like, there's like this little tiny shin high rope on the right side of the cart path, the outside of the cart path. And then I hear him rustling the pin sheet, which has the rules on the back of it behind me. And I'm like, holy shit. That's out of bounds.
Oh, wow.
Like I could walk over there. It would have been, I probably would have made par from the spot I was in 4 or 5 times out of 10. So it's not, no guarantee. Yeah. Well, worst I'm going to make is bogey from over there. Like I'm going to walk over there, be able to hit this golf ball, but I cannot play it. And I just, I threw my driver onto the ground at my provisional. And he was still behind me. I walked up, I had about 50 yards. I walked up to the green to, you know, get ready to hit my next one. And as I was walking back, I lit into him. I was like, how the fuck was I not told that that was out of bounds? This is the boundary instead of, and you know, to his defense, he's right in saying that, look, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Tell you that there's out of bounds right here? Right, like,
that's not what
right.
you want to hear.
But like I've constantly said, I want to know everything. I can be told there's out of bounds right and still not hit it out of bounds right. It's not like that's a fucking magnet over there because you told me it's out of bounds. Like if you told me that was the boundary, I thought I was just going to go over there and chip it out.
Right.
If you told me that was the boundary, I'd probably rethink this because I've missed like every shot right high and right. But then we didn't talk for the remainder of my tournament and season for 8 holes. I was pissed off, and it's not his fault. It's both of our faults. We both could do a better job. And then if I just hit a better golf shot, this would isn't
never
a thing.
Have happened.
So like, it is my fault. Like I've got to be the one that dies on the sword. I'm the one that hits it. I'm the one that chose driver. He did at one point mention hybrid. And I was like, well, why would I hit a hybrid? I can just blow it over there right. And then at that point, he's like, well, do you know what I thought he should have said at that point? Was like, do you know that it's out of bounds right at the car path? Like, oh, okay, I'll hit hybrid. You know, all right. But or even if I didn't, maybe I would have hit driver and I probably would have hit a better shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
Do you always listen to your brother though when he's like, yeah, hybrid here? And you're like, dude, I'm not.
Sometimes. You do? So we just. Yeah, we just shit on Al. Got to give him some credit too. Yeah. Sorry, Al. Great guy.
We love you, Al.
I mean, he's a world-class caddy. I called him in the entire back nine at Kiowa. I started having, I think I missed all but one green on the back nine. Didn't make a bogey, but I had like every hole I had 5 or 6 feet for par. And I was just making them. And then the last 4 holes, every one of them was straight or straight-ish. And I hate straight putts. I'd rather it break. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, my mind is trying to find slope or curve. So I kept calling him in. He was right on 15. He was right on 16. He was right on 17. And on 18, I call him in. I've got like 6-7 feet for par. And I know all of it. I know that if I make this putt, it's not a guarantee that I finish fourth or better gets into Augusta, but I'm like finishing no worse than fifth. Like it's going to be really close. And I know if I make it, I'm finishing 7th or 8th with no chance to get back up to 4th based on what, unless everybody hits it into the ocean behind me. And I go, Al, this looks like this breaks, you know, like left center. This is going to fall just a little bit right, especially based on I had like 50 feet going by and it lipped out on the right side and it did just kind of fall that way. And he goes, no, this putt is actually going to fall left. This is inside right. There's some wind. There's a little bit of a slope that I clearly didn't see. So at that moment, it's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, do I go with me who's done this for a long time? I mean, my brother's played professional golf and college golf too. Like, he knows what he's doing and has turned into a world-class caddy. Or it's like, I mean, it's 3 for 3. Do I give it this? And I, yeah, I went with Al, and if I can start that thing right center, and it broke hard and caught left lip and fell in, and it was just like, okay, we can go to Augusta now, bud.
Wow.
So yeah, there's give and take moments, and us being brothers, I think makes that we're 2 years into this now. I think it makes the learning curve about how we are going to like interact with each other out on the golf course a little bit more difficult for us. We're still obviously great friends. Like, we stay together quite a lot. And then also me being the older brother and him being the younger brother. Like, I have to constantly tell him, like, bro, you're here for a reason. Like, I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Cause he has worked his ass off to become, I mean, I do not think there's a better caddy in the game. There are caddies that do the exact same thing that he does, right? Like, there's a level of caddying you can get to, and then it just falls to your player to play good golf. But you've helped them get to that level where they can play good golf based on your preparations and how you get them ready to play golf courses. And he's done all that. But at times we've suffered, and it's very brief, but at times we've suffered just on the, like, just how do we interact with each other? Like, it has to be enough that I say to him, I want to hear what you have to say. But I also understand that I give off the vibe that it's like, shut the fuck up. Don't say anything to me.
That brother relationship is just like developed from like the womb. Like, yeah, the first day out, you're just, I mean, what are we doing here? We got both mics coming up.
He's got two mics. It's been a circus today. So I'm just trying to make
Well, I feel like I'm trying to pick off who's talking, who's not. So then like, I'll try to grab it, whatever. But I know with my brother, like, we would get, I mean, as kids, we would fight to, like, one of us is almost dead.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking of, like, your relationship on the course, how that develops. And as a younger brother, like, I know when my big brother's, like, pissed, and it's like, I'm not even going to walk in that direction.
Yeah.
And we both know now, we're both big bodies, just like, we're just going to separate.
Yeah.
But that could be really interesting if you or your brother, if he genuinely believes he should speak up in a moment when you guys are both kind of at odds with each other, right? Yeah. That could almost be like, does your brotherly, how close you guys are,
hurt that situation?
Hurt it a little bit almost, because he's like,
I mean, totally. That's something that we will have to juggle, right? Like,
and your point, it's like, I want you here. You're here for a reason.
Yeah.
That's tough, especially when you're just like this. You know what I mean? Like, God forbid that putt actually broke the way that you thought it was going to break at Kiowa.
True.
You know, I don't know how you leave that green as like brothers. You know, at that, like,
then you're so
it's fine. What did we finish, eighth?
I'm just worried. We're just gonna not play the fucking Masters. That's right.
We're in Kiowa. It's beautiful.
That's a good point. Right, but like,
it did.
And I guess,
but then those wins together, I feel like the lows would be lower, but the highs would be even higher.
The highs, yeah. Well, I was still waiting on our first win. The highs, I mean, that we celebrated that Kiowa finish, obviously, and then getting into Augusta appropriately.
Yeah.
not Tiger-esque, you know, yeah, a little different.
And then like the lows, yeah, sure. I mean, we were both irritated. I mean, he doesn't like when I play poorly any more or less than I do. Like, he's there for a reason. He wants me to achieve my goals and dreams. The lows just don't last that long. I mean, we needed like 8 holes and a little bit of a breather, just like, hey man, I've told you this is, like, I need to know these things, and you know I need to know these things. But it is like, on his in his defense, that's something that you have in a very quick moment, because I was teeing off first, the whole thing, like, and I was vibing, we were feeling good, I was hitting some decent shots. Mm-hmm. Like, he has to decide in like 3 seconds what to say to me.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's hard as shit.
Right.
And yeah, and I'm clearly sold on driver. I'm like, no, I'm starting this thing out over that water.
People are Googling it right up in the front right now, just on their computers.
Oh,
like, how far
tenth
was this driver
hole,
throw?
Seaside, or no, not Seaside, Plantation at Sea Island. I didn't throw it far. I walked up to my provisional. I still had my driver in my hand, and I was walking up to my provisional, and I was about 20 yards from it, and I was steaming that my golf ball that I could just walk over there and play is out of bounds. And I took a couple steps to the right. I was walking dead in line to my provisional about 20 yards away, a couple steps to the right. And I was like, yeah, I bet if I throw my driver now, it won't ricochet in any possible way and hit that ball. So I just chucked it into the ground like 20 yards in front of me.
So you mentioned about at Kiowa, you know, you knew a lot about what was going on leaderboard wise, where you at. We talk a ton about who considers, you know, because we as viewers, a lot of times, like, the difference between a putt can be $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 Sure. Do you think about that stuff?
Not necessarily. I mean, yeah, not the specifics of like, gosh, this putt's probably like a $300,000 putt. But I mean, I know where I'm at on a leaderboard almost every time. And you, it's so easy to project too. Like,
yeah,
I mean, Thursday rolls around, and if two under's the cut, it usually just doubles. So it's going to be four. Like, there's no secret. I mean, when you're winning a golf tournament, I don't look at leaderboards. You're probably going to look anyway. But you know, like, you just have this innate feel that, okay, I bet I've got like a 2-3 shot lead. And then same thing goes, like, you're making a push maybe late on a Sunday and you're in 11th and you see that, you know, a shot ahead of you is fifth. You're like, okay, but, you know, maybe – and then maybe you're one of the first few guys to finish. You're like, oh, if I make a birdie in the next three holes, I'll get up to fifth. I'll probably finish like 7th or 8th instead of 11th. And then if I don't make a birdie – I'll get to, you know, 13th or 14th, whatever it may be. So you have an idea. I mean, Kiowa, I was full knowledge of everything. Like, and I, it was not money. It was, I know that a top four in a major gets me into the Masters.
That's cool.
I want to finish top four in a major. But I mean, I've done it before too, where you finish and it's like, oh, we'll look at the, well, you know, I chunk hooked one into the water at Pebble my first year. And I think birdie took me
on 18.
Yeah. Great drive into off the right, up under the tree, like past and under the tree. And we're standing there waiting. It's Sunday. It's slow. It's slow as shit. Everybody plays slow that week. You know, two pros and two AMs in the group in front of us. We're just sitting there waiting. And I was trying to just like thin cut it into the front right bunker, give myself a chance to get it up and down. Pretty easy bunker shot. Well, we're waiting. I never really thought that my ball, I'm literally swinging under this tree's canopy. And obviously the sun and the tree blocks the shade, you know, the turf under there is just not very good. Like, I just hit a great drive in this. Right. My last thought was like, this turf kind of sucks. And I hit a horrible shot and I chunk hooked it into the Pacific. And I made 6. And then I pulled up the leaderboard and it was like, I think I literally was in 11th. I said the 11th and the 5th thing because I think it was the difference between 11th. A birdie takes me up to like 6th. So you're probably not going to stay in 6th.
Yeah.
But you're going to, you know, 7th or 8th, somewhere in there. And then I fell to like 21st, but I actually went back up as the 18 was playing ridiculously hard that day as well. So I probably should have just made a fucking par. but I went from 21st to 17th. So, but I finish and I am fuming. Drive back to the hotel I'm staying in, and I think we're going to maybe Phoenix the next day. So I'm just like, what do I do? You know,
and yell at your brother real quick.
This was pre okay, brother, actually. But I mean, I chunked it in the water, chunk hooked it in the water. Like, this is what anybody's fault.
That's on you. Yeah.
And the turf. It wasn't, again, Al, sorry, it wasn't your fault that I hit it out of bounds. It's, but you know, and
that
I just
not done. That one is not done. That's too fresh.
Yeah. Well, it's fresh, and then I just like threw it out there.
You're now publicly like, sorry, apologizing for it a couple of times.
Well, it's maybe a little too early to throw it out there, and I threw it out there.
It'd be funny. If you had an event this week, there'd be a lot of fans out there like, what the fuck, Al?
Yeah. No, but okay. Chunk hook it in the water. The best part of the story, I look, and it's, you know, the difference between 7th, I'm in 21st. I'm like, holy shit, I just cost myself $200,000. Well, I walked up to this market to grab a sandwich for dinner that I'd had all week, and there were two girls selling Girl Scout cookies out front. So I walk in and get my sandwich, and I'm like, yeah. Gave them $100. I took two boxes of the, you know, Reese's looking one. I don't know, whatever they call
it's
it.
A humble brag. You gave the best nice one.
Tag along?
No, I said it was a humble brag. You gave
them
a nice.
Yeah. I gave them $100 and didn't ask for change. Huge. I am not humbly bragging.
Good man.
Samoas? You talking Samoas?
No. The Reese's one. I think it's a tag-along, isn't it?
Tag-along sounds real familiar, and I think it's a tag-along.
Jake Bass says it's tag-along.
And I opened those up and ate them and, you know, had kind of forgotten that
life was good.
Just pissed away $200,000 into the Pacific.
You guys are way too similar. Lurch And Harry Higgs, oh my God, he ate something and forgot all about all his worries. I mean, yeah, you guys are great. Just well, two big bodies.
I'm in that boat as well.
They're just fucking, yeah, you guys just are so, you guys are brothers. It's insane.
I know.
I mean, before you guys were talking and I looked, I went to Brennan. I'm like, these guys are fucking twins, man.
Couple big bodies.
It's incredible.
See a tag along, all your worries go out the window. It's so good. A
tag along plus about 30 minutes later, after watching everybody that was finishing behind me fuck up 18, they texted me and told me I still made 110 grand. So I was like, oh, we're problem. Good, man. I can go back and buy more Girl Scout cookies. Yeah.
I mean,
so it's weird. Like, to the long-winded answer is everybody, even if they tell you they're not, everybody's aware. And everybody checks and you try. I mean, we finish 18, you know, we finish on Sunday, and at our scoring deal where we sign our scorecard, they just have a sheet. Multiple sheets that, you know, hey, if you finish first, you make this much.
Really?
If you finish second, you make
this
much.
I never knew that.
If you finish in a two-way tie for second, you make that much. A three-way tie for second, a four-way tie for second, all the way down. It's just like this huge column. Yeah. I mean, there, and I've played with guys. I have yet to do it. I do not think I ever will. Don't never say never, though.
Yeah.
But I'll play with guys that be like, hey, you know, whoever the official is, you know, inputting the scores, what position am I in? And somebody will say like, oh, you're five ways at 15th. So, okay, I'm going to make that much money.
Wow.
Mm.
I mean, you cannot hide from it.
Right.
You cannot. Right. And now with Tiger swinging again, we're going to make even more.
Uh-huh. Isn't that nice?
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I'm curious about if you think maybe any chance in Kiowa, you know, you're playing so well in a big event, had anything to do with the fans. Because for me, like that was the first real event where fans were like back. Like the crowds were crazy. And you even coming up the last few years, probably like a lot of your earlier starts of the tour, like there weren't even fans out there.
Not a whole lot.
So I wonder if that like, or what, I guess what factor that might
have played. Yeah, I think so. When COVID happened and then we decided, you know, when we're going to play again, I was like, man, this probably is going to be an advantage for me. I played in front of some folks, you know, had a couple chances to win, played a couple, you know, late weekend tee times. So I'd done it a little bit, but I was like, I can just get focused on what I need to do. You know, there's not going to be, quite honestly, a lot of people yelling just stupid shit at me while I'm trying to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is going to be a little easier on me and younger guys that haven't maybe quite experienced, you know, the Tiger and Phil, you know, effect and how all that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lasted about 9 holes in the first event back. I was like, this fucking sucks. Like there's no energy. This feels like a practice round, yet we're keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I wasn't really at my best at the time, so it's hard to say, but I really felt like I struggled because there was just no juice. Like you had to bring your own energy. And it's hard to do that when you grind and work to get ready Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to perform on Thursday to Sunday. Like you're pretty, I mean, I need to do a better job of maybe resting and saving some energy. But even when I'm tired, when I finish on Wednesday, like I show up Thursday, there's people there. It's like, okay, I like hitting good shots in front of a bunch of people.
Right.
It was great. And then you're playing late on the weekend on a major was sweet. I mean, there's still not a whole lot of people that watch me play golf.
Which is a shame because you're like a people's golfer type guy.
Yeah.
That's
good. Every now and again. And there are times where like if I'm not thrilled with how I'm performing, like I'm not going to react to anything you say. I mean, people say some really dumb shit.
What's the dumbest shit they said?
I mean, the buttons thing. Somebody asked me the other day, and I think this might have something to do with you guys.
Maybe not.
I don't know. No. But somebody asked me.
I already got my eyes on the exit.
I just made double on 18, and I'm walking off, and some guy just asked me, like, does pineapple belong on pizza?
I don't think that's us.
I don't think that really has anything to do with you guys. But, like,
Like, that's a dumbass thing to say.
Pizza. I don't. I don't.
Oh. No, I don't either.
It does not belong on pizza.
Your guys' first disagreement.
Yeah.
We'll get back. Trent, what do you like to say? Keep mint in the bathroom?
Keep mint in the bathroom, yeah.
Keep pineapples on trees? Pineapple tree? Keep pineapples on trees.
I don't think they grow on trees, bro. No, they come out of the ground.
Are we sure?
Don't they come out of the ground?
No.
They grow on trees?
Pineapples?
Yeah.
Isn't there like a...
Yeah. Pineapple plant.
Where do pineapples fucking grow?
But I would say even trees come out of the ground. So it's like if it's a pineapple tree, it came. I'll tell you what, they don't come out of the sky.
Do they come out of the ground or do they come off a tree? They do not come off a tree. All right. One.
I said a pineapple tree.
I was thinking like a carrot, like they're in the ground, though.
Yeah, it's similar to a carrot.
But that's not in the ground.
Yeah. But it comes off.
But it's like comes out, I didn't say it was in the ground. I said it came out of the ground.
Okay. All right.
But it's certainly not a tree.
One, nothing.
I just made fun of someone for saying pineapple on pizza. Then I
that's like in the dirt. That's what I was thinking. What you were talking about when you said in the ground.
It's similar enough.
In the ground, though.
Is that right? Carrots come straight out of the ground themselves. They're not. They don't fall off of another plant.
Carrots are roots.
Oh wow,
great for your eyes.
So a pineapple's a root.
No,
I should try it.
No, I think pineapples are put into the ground and then taken out of said ground.
It's a plant.
Do you like pineapples in general?
Yeah, I like pineapples. I do not like them on pizza.
How long does it take Jake Bass is asking
5 years?
To grow?
Come on, dude. Come on.
2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Pineapples are insane.
Oh, my God.
You guys ever been to Hawaii?
What if you get like a
one time.
Yeah, go do the whole like pineapple deal. I haven't done it either, but I've heard people that do it.
Do you play
Sony?
They
like tour. Yeah, I like Sony. I like that golf course.
Possible.
Do you do like turnover rate out there when you go play?
Nah,
you just go for the event.
Horrendous.
Because then you just go west.
You get rid of
swing,
your
right?
crop of pineapples, and then you got to wait 2 to 3 years after
that.
That's
a
problem.
Conversation.
Right? We got two conversations going on one podcast. Right.
We're still on the pineapples.
Okay, well, pineapples don't belong on pizza. Ask me about it after I made double on 18. Just don't do that.
Fair point.
Don't do that.
Not our guys.
It's funny that's the thing that caught your attention, though. You're pissed. Like, and he's just, that could have been anybody.
Are you kidding me? The one thing that I hate, I absolutely hate, I tee off on a par 4. It's 480 yards. I hit my tee shot and some dipshit yells, get in the hole.
Yep.
Bro, I do not hit it 480 yards. It will not go in the hole. Yell it all you want if I'm, 100 yards away. That's totally fine.
Because you do want it to go in the hole. From 480.
Need a couple sprinkler heads from 480.
Nah.
I got to tell you, the next time you step up to a par 4, I think I know what you're going to hear.
They like him.
They might try to make it sarcastic, but
I do think I would imagine, though, and I think like Kiz has told us this, is just that it's not that you hate it, it's that it gets, when you hear the same shit for 4.5, 5 hours in a row, no matter what human you are, it's going to drive you a little bit insane or annoyed.
I mean, could you imagine if I, maybe not you guys, but somebody, I just spent 5 hours in your office just every 15 minutes just yelling something at you?
No, but it happens to us on a very smaller scale, right? Like we'll be at the Islander game or something and a lot of people will recognize me for being an Islander fan. They'll come up to me and be like, Frankie, where's Dave at?
Yeah.
Or something.
It's
or
like, bro, I don't know.
Or where's the pizza? And I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm at
the concourse.
But you say it to, like, you're super nice to all the people. And then
waiting for me.
One guy maybe pisses you off and you're like, I don't fucking know, dude. And then that guy tweets out, Frankie, bro, it's a fucking asshole in Islander game. Like,
of course.
After 5 hours of it, I can imagine it being like, dude, I don't, that ball's never going in the hole. Like,
never.
You just turn around and be like,
never.
Are you an idiot? You know? Yeah, but you can't because then.
I have yet, and I'm sure I will at some point. I will probably do it.
Yeah.
I can see.
Very cordially.
Yeah.
I've played with a golfer or two that have turned around and not been very nice.
Sabatini?
No, okay. No Saba. But
DQ'd
this was
last week, by the way.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I think he had those little stickers on that they
use reflective stickers
for the launch monitor. Yeah. Deal. I don't get how that's possible, but that's beyond the point.
How it's possible to have those on still or
just take them off.
Right.
Just take them off. Yeah.
Seems sensible.
Once you stop hitting that club, just take them off. Like there's two of you there too. There's a player and a caddy.
Right.
Just take it off.
You warmed up with them. Like you got to know that it's on there.
Yeah. But
Al would never let that happen.
Al would never let that happen.
Under no circumstances.
But the Harry Higgs launching into a fan is coming at some point, you think?
There's no telling. I've done.
Get like physically angry, you're gonna like dismantle someone mentally.
Because right, like, bring him in real close and just whisper
like that
in their
410
ear.
Yard thing. You'd be like, did you really think I was gonna? You know what I mean?
Like, it's not. It's really making me feel like an idiot. Like,
it's just not.
Like, that's just not funny, and it's not original.
No.
Like, I'm going on, you know, almost 3 years of this whole unbutton thing, the sunglasses, the whole thing. Like, can't you guys come up with something new?
Yeah. So, but that is your image, right?
Like, yeah.
But that's just because who you are. Or did you lean into that?
I don't think I've not leaned into it. I haven't made it in a, like, this is how I wear my shirts. I like to wear sunglasses when I wear sunglasses when it's not sunny out.
Right.
Cause I like the way that it looks, it, especially with greens. I think I might have a little bit of trouble with blues and greens.
Okay.
And, but that's besides the point. But like, well,
we can get into that if you want.
Nah, I'm all right. I played with Phil in, at the BMW. Last event of both of our years, neither one of us went on to the tour championship. First 2 days, and it's just calves this, calves that, calves this, calves that. It's like, I mean, we were talking with Tim, who's also his brother / caddy, and he's just like shaking his head, like, Tim, this shit get old? And he's like, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be that bad if they could just come up with something new.
Right.
Like, if you're going to come at me and yell something that I may view as stupid, try to make it original.
What's the term for when like an actor typecasted, right? Yeah, or typecast. So like Kevin from The Office, right? Brian Baumgartner comes on our show all the time. And like, so some people take
fellow SMU guy, by the way.
There you go. Right.
Played with him in the...
He's a good golfer.
He's pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I played golf with him.
He's going to hate that.
I played with him
in
the BMW Pro-Am on the Corn Ferry Tour. I mean, he's not bad. I wouldn't.
What's your scale for that?
I wouldn't like, tell him he's a good guy.
Would you say he's surprisingly good?
No.
Wow.
No. I hadn't played with him in 3 years now, though. So.
But what would you maybe say about just their common 10 handicap? Pretty bad?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's all
right. Yeah. My scale is vastly different.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a disclaimer. Right. Yeah. Exactly. We need that in there.
Like, if.
My scale is different.
Yes. Yeah. Finish fourth with PGA.
My point being, if people scream out to him, Kevin's dropping the chili, like, he happens to love that because that is all, that's who he is. That's the only way we know of him. But you are an athlete that goes out and performs every single day. So I can see it being.
It's like, just. It gets old.
It does get old for sure. Because you're always out there in front of them.
And look, I'm very fortunate that people have taken a notice to me without me being someone other than myself. Yeah, I'm not playing a character.
Right.
That is rare. That is like gold. But I also, deep down, like, this shit is difficult. I have worked tirelessly, traveled all over the place, played in some shitty places. To get to this point,
what's
like
the shittiest place?
Honduras.
Okay.
I have played
just everything about it there.
Yeah,
like the really course, hot, the hotels, everything.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, there's more to that.
Hotel and food. Yeah. That one could come up.
No, he pictured like a night out. You know what I mean? Like
Honduras.
Oh, we've got some
good. Poor Honduras, man.
Right. He just looked around one night in Honduras and was like, this place is hell.
The resort was actually awesome.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't imagine it's still there. And the golf course was fine. It was just very, very hot.
Yeah.
I was having some digestive issues.
Which shout is good out now. They have Dude Wipes.
Shout out Dude Wipes.
What a plug in here. You are the newest Dude Wipes athlete.
Yeah. I don't know if people have seen our commercial we filmed yet, but this is an announcement.
You probably haven't yet. The commercial will be pretty awesome.
You're a Dude Wipes athlete.
I think it went well.
Yeah.
Long story short, you could have used some Dude Wipes in Honduras.
Yes, because I played the weekend there with two rolls of toilet paper in my golf bag.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I've shit in the course.
Tell me you took a shit during the tournament, like in the woods.
No, so there was a porta potty, which I probably should have just done in the woods, but there was a porta potty between the 12th and 13th hole. And on Saturday, on 9, we were gonna have an issue, but 9 was nowhere near the clubhouse. So it's like, bro, you got to keep going. And I had just missed 4, 5, 6, 7 are all the jungle holes. Like, it's literally just fairway and then just jungles. So you, in theory, if it was that dire, I could have just done it on a jungle hole. But now I'm like, out and just like, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's like normal golf holes. There's, you know, one hole goes this way, one hole's that. Like, I can't. But somehow, I don't still to this day have no idea how I made it to that Porter John, but I made it. I grabbed the roll of toilet paper out of my bag, took care of my business, needed a Dude Wipe. Honduras was we could go into Honduras at many different levels. There were People found like tarantulas in their rooms.
It was not a spider podcast. We don't like spiders.
Yeah. No. I'm not a big spider guy. I'm not a big snake guy.
I will say when you have that bug thing in your room though, like when you don't feel like it's clean or there's just,
yeah.
It is so hard to get comfortable it's and fall so asleep. Hard. Oh my God. So the whole place, just get rid of it because you can't physically get comfortable in your bed.
Burn it
and then
down.
Something touches you. All the lights are going on, and it was like, what the hell was that? Yeah. It was just like the wind blew a sheet, and you're like, this is a nightmare, though.
Well, no, that it was not in my room, fortunately.
Somebody had tarantula on them?
Two different hotel rooms had different tarantulas in them.
Spider's one thing, dude.
So, tarantula, like, at that point,
that's like...
It's a mega spider.
It's almost a mythical, I'm evil creature. I'm
like, I can't go anywhere? Like,
dude, spiders are so big, they got, like, hair on them.
Like, yeah. The week started on Wednesday. Oh. They threw a party and they hosted boxing matches.
Oh.
Which was like sick. But like a couple of them were like 12-year-olds. Like it was kind of like weird.
To get messy.
No. But it was sick. We were all sitting there drinking, gambling on it.
Like, oh,
it was
awesome. Yeah.
And the week ended with some stomach issues. And then my roommate and I at the time did bathtub laundry, which was very popular out there. We're out on the road for 3 or 4 weeks. We can't pack enough clothes. We don't own enough clothes at this point, playing the PGA Tour Latin America. So we fill up the bathtub with water.
Wow.
And we throw soap in the bathtub. And then we just throw our clothes in the bathtub. And we wish it around. We're swishing around, swishing around, swishing around. We drain the bathtub. We take our clothes. We hang and our clothes up, fold them to dry. Grave mistake.
Oh,
what you're supposed to do is put water without soap back in the bathtub and then rinse your clothes off. So
you forgot to rinse.
We were walking around with soapy underwears and shirts
playing
and
in the hot. Oh,
it was beyond 102. So there was
that's how you get a shirt to breathe. You know what I mean? When just add soap to it, another layer in 102 degree heat.
That's so brutal.
And the two of us could not figure out what was going on. Like, we were both having some chafing issues.
Oh, totally, dude.
And it was dire. We couldn't figure it out. And then sure enough, we stayed together for a few years. He got married like 2 weeks after he invited me. We were just finished up the spring schedule. He got married late spring, early summer. And he had gone home to his fiance, now wife, and she was like, oh,
You guys are that rinse, dumb?
Dude, I don't think I would think of that either.
First thing, I never met this girl. They invite me to their wedding. Never met her. Great people. Idiot. Great friends. I know no one there. He just invited me. I went, sure, great, go. She comes up to me. It's like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. She goes, oh, hey, Harry, how's your jungle dick?
Oh, what a gal.
Yeah, awesome.
Just love you right from that
Honduras.
Moment.
Honduras. Yeah, exactly. Honduras. The whole thing.
Also, Honduras. If that's going to bring the bugs over, too. If you just got soaked. Yeah.
Thank God we didn't do any tarantulas.
No,
didn't
but have like, any. Just like.
Probably one more night. We'd been crawling in them.
Oh,
we'd been
God,
crawling
that's
in them.
That's miserable.
But it was a very nice hotel.
You said the resort's great.
Saving grace.
Resort's great. Yeah, exactly. Doubt it's still there, but it's great.
Raving review from Harry Harris.
Yeah. So now you're playing on the PGA Tour, which is a lot nicer than that. Are we going to talk about the little practice round match with Phil, Joel, Keith Mitchell? So obviously, like, we all saw the social media stuff, but how else, like, what else went into you becoming a part of that?
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Joel had Phil's number. Obviously, I didn't have Phil's phone number, and put us all in a group text. And we're like, hey, we're going to go at X time on Tuesday. And it's like, okay, I'll be there. It's just kind of like you would arrange a Tuesday afternoon round at your home club.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, man, I think Phil had to do something in the morning. So we teed off at like 11 and we just went out and played 18 holes. He's an interesting guy. He is always going to be the center of attention. Mm. Even when, and he played, he didn't play great. Joel played great. Joel pretty much beat us by himself.
He made a million birdies, didn't he?
I think he made 8 and no bogeys.
Oh, God.
Phil did what Phil normally does, kind of all over the place, and then made a very timely eagle and then birdied the next hole on 6, I think it was 6 and 7. And that, like, we were 1 or 2 up at the time and just stalled our momentum. And then Joel started doing Joel, like making everything and hitting everything close. And and Keith and I played good too. The quality of golf was actually pretty high in the match, which is really rare on a Tuesday. Like, we all suck on Tuesdays usually. But it was a ton of fun. I mean, it was so just like normal. It's like I'm playing with a now 6-time major winner, Hall of Famer. It's like, this is pretty cool, you know? This is a lot of fun, but like, I just rather beat this guy.
Right. I just want to win.
Yeah, get some of Phil's cash.
He brings it with the cash though, right? The action?
Or
is that less, fabricated?
Less than you would have thought.
Okay.
I will not say the dollar amount because we made a pact to not discuss dollars and cents, but I think people would think we played for way more than we did.
Right. Especially with the hype.
Yeah,
it's been building for like a decade now, totally. A couple decades.
And either no matter what, you just got to bring cash, just in case. Like no matter what, you got to have that cash. Is that how you guys all roll?
Yeah,
you're not like Venmoing each other.
No,
okay.
I doubt Phil Mickelson has a Venmo.
Yeah,
now Keith and I could Venmo each other,
right?
And then we could Venmo Joel too.
Yeah,
but ain't nobody Venmoing Phil. That's
really funny. You since gained Phil's number?
I do have Phil Mickelson's number. Yes,
because there was like a group text, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He didn't give it to me directly. But I got his phone number.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Did he save your number down, you think? You think he's got it?
If I ever have to text Phil Mickelson again, I'd be like, hey, Phil, Harry here. Remember me?
Harry here.
We played a lot of golf together at the end of last year. That was Liberty National. Then I scraped my way into the playoffs, and we play the first 2 days at BMW there in Baltimore. He was a treat. He's just interesting, man. Like, I don't know if he's like playing a character or if that's just the way he always is. I think that's just the way he always is. Like, and it's done great for all of us. Like, I mean, he's not the same as Tiger, right?
He's a mega star.
I mean, he's made all of us a lot of money, just because he's just like so genuinely happy to play in front of people and like wants to make their experience enjoyable.
Right.
It just the thumbs up all over the place. And like I think he tries shots that he doesn't even know he can pull off just because it's like, these people are going to really like this. Watch this.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I could never imagine myself playing golf like that, but yeah, sure. Like, nah, man, I ain't hooking that 4-iron 40 yards around that tree. Just hit it over there and then hit it on the green. Phil just tries it. He just goes for it. And he's clearly got some insane ability. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it up close pretty much. I mean, he played pretty good at Baltimore for 2 days that I was with him. And it's impressive how he plays golf and how he shoots scores because he just does and tries wild shit. It's like, just hit it. His brother and his, you know, we get to 4 on Thursday. And Phil, I mean, I was really impressed with this whole bombs thing, right? Like, I worked to hit it, you know, swing it faster, hit it further. It's like this guy's like 51 or 2, whatever it is. Like, yeah, come on. He's not going to hit that far. And 1 was not a driver, 2 was. And he was like, oh my God, maybe he does actually hit it far. And we get to 4, and 4 was playing a little downwind, another par 5. And I think I'd bogeyed 2, a par 5, which was, you know, I'm kind of fuming at the time. Nice up and down on 3. So I'm last to tee off on 4. Ryan Palmer's in our group. He hits it down the fairway. Phil says aloud to Tim, his caddy, Tim, do you like stock or nasty here on this tee shot? This comes out of his mouth. And I'm sitting there. Ryan and I are just looking at each other like, are you kidding? Like, no one has ever said this, I think, on a golf course in a professional golf tournament in their lives. But that's just Phil. And Tim, like how Al does. No, Tim's like, stock's good here, Phil. Like, we can get there with a good stock one. Phil's like, okay, yeah. He goes through his routine, da-da-da-da, swings it, and grunts. Like, this is not stock. Like this, he may he audibly grunted as he struck the golf ball.
Nasty.
That's one of the nasty ones. And look, to Phil's credit, it went 9 miles. He flipped a long iron on the green and made birdie. Like, but I couldn't. I will never ever so forget good. That. Stock I think I'm nasty. Steal that. Tim was riding on the stock train. Like, bro, stock is plenty good enough. Because I saw some of one of the nasty ones that they go offline. Like
Tim's seen some nasty ones.
Tim's seen some nasty ones.
Turned into and some to dark Phil's nights. Credit,
he just like shook his head and agreed, and then grunted and hit it forever.
What are your feelings about him on the Champions Tour and how he just goes there and dominates these old guys that are six. just trying to live crazy, off their life? Trent feels bad for the rest of the field.
I think he's bullying him a little bit.
I love it. I think it's hilarious, and I think it's exactly what he should be doing.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. I mean, I couldn't tell you last time I watched any Champions Tour golf.
No,
but it's great.
Yeah.
But it's also great for like what that tour – it doesn't always do that great. I mean, if you can get Phil and maybe get Tiger in a handful of years.
When Phil's winning these things, the money's no brainer for him.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's doing it. I'm playing. I read a quote the other day, and he had just literally said, like, I just like to play and compete and win.
Right.
Like, he clearly doesn't need to play to win, what is it?
$350,000, $400,000, right?
Yeah, which is, again.
But that's a top five, you know what I mean? We're talking this guy is dominating these old men. And he's just cashing checks. Yeah. I love it.
It is kind of sick.
Like you're letting him in. He's gonna murder.
Yeah, he's gonna play.
It's not his fault.
And he's still probably, you know, he won a fucking major this year.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. Right. Yes and no. I mean, it's Phil. So like,
right.
Again, he's not the same level as Tiger, but like nothing should really surprise you with a
man. You think he's writing his own history, his own book as well, where it's like he's got that, oh, no 50-year-old can like. Like, I feel like Phil's at that level where...
What he did this year was...
Right.
That
right.
was shocking to me.
Because he was like, not very good all year.
That's what I mean.
Before not comparable.
Or after.
I thought he was gone but like, over the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, it did start to see... And he started playing more Champions Tour golf. It kind of seemed like, all right, this guy will play some of the, you know, the majors, so he's going to be exempt into three of them forever. They'll probably get him into some U.S. Opens. He'll play some bigger events. But, like, Phil's kind of going to fade away. And at the time, everybody... probably hadn't even said yet, but had already started thinking like, yeah, I mean, we kind of all think Phil's going to fade away in a year, two, three from now. He won a fucking major.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Hard golf course.
How do you think
insanely
you,
hard golf
How course. Do you think you would fare if you lived the life of Phil Mickelson, obviously regarding all the money and all the winnings, but being in the shadows of one specific golfer? Have you ever... like even experienced anything like similar to that, where like one guy you couldn't get over, or
no,
because you guys there's parity in on the tour now.
Yeah, very true. I don't think we're gonna see some of these guys would take even Phil's career,
right?
You know, 40, I think 45 and six majors.
Of course.
Like, I mean, Rory's a freak. Like, he's insanely, insanely good. He's got 20 and 4.
Right.
And he's been playing for 8, 10 years. So in theory, he could go another 8. So he could get about the same thing. But like, that's...
I know. It's JT a shame to say he's in the shadows. Like
some of these guys. Yeah,
Phil, I mean, he's not... It's hard to say that he was in the shadows his whole career. And he was. That's how good Tiger
is. Yeah, that's how dominant Tiger was.
But like, you're riding off these numbers right now. Like, Phil's just... Fuck. I mean,
he
doubles up Rory McIlroy.
His numbers are amazing.
Yeah. And we're sitting here talking about shadows.
Like, yeah, and he did it and beat
Tiger
sometimes.
Right. He should be the best of all time.
Yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of... Ernie was the same way. Like, Ernie...
Right.
I think Ernie's low 20, or maybe not even 20, and 3. And everybody was like, he was the one that probably got hurt the most by Tiger winning all these events. Like, sometimes Phil wasn't always there. Like, Ernie for a long time was there. And it's like, well, he didn't...
It's amazing.
He didn't beat the last guy, so...
When you go back... Like a lot of these highlights, you know, like we'll watch Tiger's YouTube final round and it's like Ernie Els is there.
All the time. And then Phil got Ernie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hitting that shot through the trees and all this shit. Like, what?
Fucking Ernie's gotten the worst out
guy
of all
can't
of
catch a break.
No. Good guy. It's incredible. How do you, like, when, you know, we're talking about all these different names, like, you know, you're up, like, how do you stack up your own self? Like, you must believe into, like, I can be... Maybe not Tiger Phil, but like these other guys that we're talking about that are rotating in the top five, top 10, that are going on stretches where they're winning. Like, you must internally believe, like, there's a party that's like, I can do that. I play with these guys. I play with them every week.
Yeah. I mean, there's, there's certainly times where it's like, gosh, I definitely need to get better. Like, I feel like I'm, but for the most part, yeah, you see these guys week in and week out and they don't do anything. Like, I truly believe I had success on the PGA Tour because I took the attitude that when I first got out there and played with some of these guys, it's like, these guys aren't very good.
Yeah.
Like, and now disclaimer, they're all really good, but it's like, I mean, they miss greens with wedges. They three putt. It's like, I have the same, maybe not the same, but I have close to the same skill level that they do in all areas of the game. I can get better in certain, and as can they, certain different aspects. But yeah, you play with them, you're like, all right, I mean, I'm 105th in the world, whatever it is. And I played with Morikawa Sunday of the second Vegas event, the CJ Cup. And he fucking shot 10 under. So, but I mean, I start the day and it's like we both hit it to 4 or 5 feet on a par three, the second hole. I'm like, all right, I'm game on, bro. Like, I heard you hit your irons good. Yeah. I'll do this shit all day with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't continue. And then I tried to make a climb late and then he birdied 17 and eagled 18. So it was, but like, I mean, okay, cool, man. Right. Give me another crack at that guy.
The High Noon El Prez Pack is here featuring my top four High Noon Vodka Seltzer flavors. These flavors include passion fruit, pineapple, pear, an all new flavor, tangerine, all made with real vodka, real juice. This 12 pack is only here for a limited time, so get it while you can. Just look for the pack with my face on it. You can even scan the QR code in the pack and have me virtually join your party. Visit highnoonspirits.com to find the El Prez Pack nearest you.
When you talk about skill level, I've actually brought this up. Like, what level is it all basically the same? And then it all is something supernatural, like with the mental game and just being able to perform on tour. Is it like the best high school players are basically you're hitting the ball at the same distance, right? You're like hitting greens at the same rate, or you're able to do it at least. You have it in your body, yeah. I feel like. Like, would you say like that's the age where you reached like the level of being able to hit the golf ball the way you can now?
Me personally, no. I mean, okay. I was well out of college.
Oh wow.
Where I still felt like, and it wasn't even really, I was skilled, but it's all, and I hate using it all the time, but it's the only thing that matters. It's the consistency of it. Like,
yeah.
Can you travel the world? Can you go to Honduras? Can you wake up? Like, can you continue to do that and still wake up
right.
and give me, you know, like 80, 90, 100% of that skill level, that ability to just get the ball around, hit the certain shots that are required, you know, pick certain shots that are required because there's a time we have to decide between both. So it's, yeah, I guess the physical attributes, I would have said, no, I would have said I was like at my peak, and it was more because I had just such an understanding of what I normally do wrong and how to fix it and to continuously work on the same things over and over. Fortunately for me, I just do one thing wrong pretty much all the time, and I will forever do it to some degree. Like, it's basically I play my best when I sway my hips toward the target less. Pelvic sway, horizontal pelvic sway. If it gets like 8-9 inches out in front of me, I'm going to have a hard time hitting the ball. If it stays 3 to 4 inches, I'm cool. We're fine.
Wow.
And then, you know, in that, you have to work on that every single day. So it was just kind of a defined plan, and I saw myself get better and better and better, and then I could kind of create and work on the skills at that point. Like,
okay,
now I know a fault, how to fix it, maybe a few different ways how to fix it. Now I can go into create. Can I – you know, when it matters most, can I start that ball left and cut it back to the flag? Can I flight one down into the wind when it matters? Can I, which shots off the tee am I going to play, you know, when the gun's really about to go off? You know, do I believe I'm going to hold this putt? You know, I think I'm the best putter in the world. I don't think statistically I am, but I mean, what a stats.
We don't.
Yeah. Numbers. Not a numbers podcast.
Bunch of fucking numbers. But
like, the only thing I noticed that, if I literally just go through my same process and then right before I hit the putt, just kind of like internally smile, chuckle, and laugh and say that I'm just going to make this.
Right.
Like, yeah, of course I don't make it all the time, but I found that that's just kind of a cool little cue to give me a better chance at least. Like, yeah. And it's kind of stuff like that. And I think that's what the top players in the world have. They have a very clear and defined plan about how to achieve their best, their highest level golf, and they don't let a damn thing get in the way. And then they have the ability to have one of the aspects of it fall off and have another one come on, and it works, and it works, and it's consistent throughout a year. And those guys, like, I mean, you see it a lot. I mean, I like to, the real telltale, and like Rory gets a lot of shit for this for his backdoor top tens, but like clearly he's not very good for the first 3 days up to Rory's standards. He's in like 35th on Sunday. He finishes fifth.
Right.
Like, for a guy like that too, that, you know, makes all that money and can just go out there real fast and play quick and go home. Like, he goes out there and gets better on that day. And obviously, you know, continues to improve his standing, his world ranking, everything. Like, I have still yet to, and I want to, that this is a big goal of mine. I've done it once where I have been outside the cut line on Friday and shot myself back into it. So if I am outside the cut line, the book says I ain't getting back in. and then I have moved up on Sundays, but I have yet to do, I don't know the exact number, but I've yet to do like the 35th, 40th where you're probably pretty close. You probably just need to execute one or two shots and get some momentum and then hole a few putts on that Sunday. I've yet to do the 35th to 40th up into the like top 15, top 10, top five, ideally.
Right.
And I think that's the measure of when you can like, all right, I've been kind of surviving this whole time. And then it's like, you know what? I'm just going to go out there. Yeah, sure. Freedom and everything. But like, I'm going to solve this. I'm going to execute these shots. I'm going to shoot a score that gets me, you know, a higher finish, more money, more points, whatever it may be. That's a huge goal of mine. So, I mean, when I'm good, I'm good. Like I don't, when I'm up there, I do not mess up. Like it's, right. Because it's also easier when you're up there. So, yeah, I mean,
that's why
I know where this golf ball's going. Yeah. Sure.
I say that about every guy who has his PGA Tour card. There can't be that much of a difference between getting the ball in the hole. It's got to be all the extra stuff. It has to be, because you watch a guy who finishes in 30th in a golf tournament, and we talk about this all the time. It's like one or two strokes a day difference. You're talking a missed putt here on Thursday, a missed putt there. Yeah, you're five or six back. That's over four rounds of golf. That's over 64 holes.
72
holes.
Get off a little more than 72. You can chew here, my friend.
I know it's 72 holes too. You know how dumb my brain is?
Well, you should have kept it the four rounds.
You were rolling. Is fine. You were rolling.
Yeah. I'm hungry as fuck.
You were rolling. Making a great point. Yeah. And you just got.
I think my Uber Eats has been sitting down there for
a while. Joe Rogan says that your brain works better when you're hungry. He's a fucking liar.
What does that guy know?
Nothing.
Who's that?
Yeah, right. That's right.
It was a good point, though. Like the difference over there the course of 4 days. It's crazy.
Actually hitting the ball, like what we were doing today out there on the course, like watching you guys, like being able to hit shots and like driving range type of golf. I can't tell a difference just by watching you guys. It's all the same shit. The
best way to do it would be to, if you go to a golf tournament, go and follow a group on Thursday and Friday. Just go and follow them. And you got to follow both days, because you're going to get one guy that probably is close to playing his way into contention. And it's going to look really easy for him, right? Like he's hitting the ball where it's supposed to go. He's holing some putts. When he misses a green, he hits a very nice pitch and he taps it in and goes to the next hole. Then you're going to get a guy that's like right on the edge. He's going to hit some awful golf shots. He's going to not get some up and down. He might three putt once or twice. He might miss a couple 6-footers for birdie. And then usually you get a third guy that's just not swinging, playing that well and checks out. So he's out. So you get to see the actual difference. And yes, like the next week, checkout guy and around the cut guy and the contention guy, they may all switch, right? Like you need to go follow, you need to almost do it like just follow a group or two or four or five guys for like a month.
Right.
And just watch. Like, I mean, I pride myself on being really, really good at shitty, shitty golf.
Yeah.
Like I will find a way to get it done. Some of the rounds that I shot this year that were under par with as poor as I was striking the golf ball, it's laughable. Like it, and I take so much pride in that. And so I never want to lose that ability, because that's something that the great players all have the ability to do.
Yeah, totally.
I just need to continue to like raise my level, raise also the consistency of that level, so that I don't have to experience it that often.
Right.
If you can do it when it happens, and it's going to happen in a 72 hole event. It's going to happen. I mean, 18, 27 holes. Like to win a golf tournament, you need to have like 12 to 20 holes that you just like turn your brain off, hit it where you're looking, make the putts, and that's that.
Right.
The rest of them, a third of the other holes remaining are going to be shitty. You need to make a lot of really good pars. Then the other ones is just going to be a fight. Like, you're going to be like, do I take the shot on? Do I hit it over there? Okay, I don't like this. I'm not taking it on. All right, I got to take this on. Like, I got to dig deep. Like, I got to execute this somehow. All right, I did it. Now I'm going to go up there and make the putt. Like, you don't play all 72 holes fantastic when you win a golf tournament.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there isn't a whole lot of difference. I just – the better players, the best players in the world, I think, I mean, they've just found a way to experience the, okay, I got to be good at shitty golf less, right? They just – they're and it's and it comes down. And it's – I hate saying it again. Consistency, consistency, consistency. And they just – they just show up every week. They hit the same shots. They don't care to, you know, oh, this, I need to draw the ball here at this course. Like, nah, John Rahm fades everything. Like, he doesn't go up. Dustin Johnson fades everything. He ain't like, oh, I need to draw this now. He's either going to just hit it over the trees on the left-hand side and get it to curve back, or he's going to understand that he's going to blow it into the right rough. So right. He's just going to find a way to make a four on that hole and leave, if it's a par four. Make a par on that hole and leave. Wait till one fits his eye, right. And then those guys attack the ones that fit their eye. As do I when things are going good, or most of the time, right? Like, it's not there isn't a secret, but I don't know what the secret to their consistency is. And I'm more than willing to pick everybody's, you know, pick guys' brains and try to figure out, like, how do you continuously do this? Like,
yeah, we'll help you out with that.
Yeah. Morikawa, like, yeah. He never plays bad. Like, just play bad. Just play just bad do it. Once.
So easy to play bad.
Just play we, bad.
We had a from the gallery. I told this to Brian Baumgartner, actually, but someone DM'd us and was like, because he keeps saying consistency, and they were saying, can you be, like, they hate that people say, I'm a really good golfer, but I'm not consistent.
No, you're not good then.
Right, yeah, because, right. Like, consistency is so integral. Essential. Or essential. We Ooh. Went through this.
We went over the word before we did the interview, yeah.
Essential to the game of golf that you can't possibly be good if you're not consistent. And I've found myself saying that where I'm like, man, yeah, I definitely can hit the golf ball like yeah. a good golf, like a good
so
golfer.
So you're skilled.
So that is the big difference. Yeah. Like, I you know can, if I'm on a range, I'm like, yeah, I can hit. Like, today sure. we were on a track, man. I hit
possess
a
the skill to
307-yard drive. That has to be something of a good golfer, but I am not consistent. So yeah. I guess I can't say that I You're am a good golfer, but I have the skill. Well, yeah.
It's not you have skills. News. I saw them today. Like, and impressive.
Right.
I mean, I've seen you hit shots.
So like, I wonder what it's that, like, it is. Like, you're saying even you're searching for it and on such a higher level of being able to do it in pressure situations and like the Colin Morikawas that never are bad. Like, I wonder what it is to tap in on such an amateur level for us as just regular guys that go out. Like,
yeah.
Like, how do you get to that point?
I think where it's you have more like you've got to pay way more attention.
Right.
Like, you have to, I mean, we are the best in the world and, you know, shoot low scores on hard golf courses for a reason. Like, we are paying attention to what is going on. And that might turn
to anything.
Well, that turns people off too. Like, right. Like, I mean, I have times where I just want to drink and swing and hit, and I could care less where the ball goes.
Right.
But like, if I'm trying to get better or, you know, shoot a low score, move up in a tournament, whatever it may be, like, you're paying attention. You understand, you know, first hole is, let's say, you know, you're a lefty. Let's say it bends from right to left. So for you, it's a cut shot. And you know deep down that you don't love a cut shot. Well, then don't take fucking driver. Like, figure out something else. Don't, you know, pull it into the right trees just because you wanted to take on the hero shot. Like, this is what a pro would do here. Like, no, fuck that. We would not. You hit the ball somewhere near the fairway, hopefully on the fairway, and then you find you wait until you find a golf shot that you like, right? Like, oh man, great number here. And those are the best because you just turn your brain off and it's just like, then it's just like hitting it on the driving range, which everybody can do.
Right.
But there's going to come times, I mean, you go months on tour without any good numbers and you have to just be skilled and understand that, okay, now, you know, it's a 9-iron over water. It's a between 9-iron or wedge over water, and I'm right in between. you probably just hit the nine, right? Like there's right. water short. Just hit the nine.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
Water's bad.
Yeah. Don't hit it in the water. You know, I mean, it is.
It sounds so stupid, but it's probably.
But if you
the amount
do
of times
it,
we're like, oh, I can nut a wedge here and just like, zip it.
I know
right.
I can get a wedge.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Yeah. I press.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's fine.
Right.
You might hit it to 2 feet.
Right.
But that shit over and over and over, I'm gonna kill that.
And that's the consistency right there.
Over and over. And if you continue to play golf as a tour pro would, or even fractionally, you don't have to do it every time. But continue to just keep thinking about what am I good at? What shots do I like to hit? If you put a gun to my head, what shot would I hit? Like under pressure.
No, that's a good way to think of it.
If you do that over and over and over and over, it just becomes habit. And then you don't even like, I can be shit-faced playing golf
right.
and I'm still piecing my way around how I want to play a hole.
Right.
Like,
yeah. right.
It's just habit at this point, right?
Right. But for the amateur, it's like, dude, just give me my driver. I'm just going to rip it over yeah. there and just hope because it's not.
Okay. Well, then.
You know what I mean? But yeah. like, yeah, it's because yeah, you're not
okay.
playing
but if you're
for
somebody that
a
does
tournament
that,
or something like fine. That. But if you are,
that's fine.
I
if
agree.
You're somebody that does that and I ever see you slam your club.
Yeah,
get
yeah,
pissed
yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
No, then
don't,
you're an
you
idiot.
Gave yourself no fucking chance.
Yeah, right. I remember
like,
I just no played
chance.
The other day. It was in the 18th hole and I've been spraying my driver everywhere. And I was like, maybe if I just look at the ball for just like through impact, like let's just see what happens. Piped one right down the middle.
Okay, but
like,
so that's
you're talking about paying attention. It's like some days I'll play 18 holes and barely even know that I'm out there. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Just
yeah,
like
yeah. I mean,
super relaxed.
And that's
yeah.
what that's also the yin and yang of golf. That's what
right.
golf offers, but everybody that plays golf wants to be
sometimes,
great at it.
I know, yeah, take I know. Themselves
well, that's also why
seriously.
That's why golf fucking sucks sometimes
yeah,
too
yeah.
because it seems so easy. We're watching people
right.
do it. It seems so approachable, so like, oh,
sometimes yeah, though I feel
not,
like I've plateaued a little bit.
There are
so
many
just,
levels to this game.
It's oh yeah.
It's fucking nuts.
Well, then
it's the
somebody
hardest
tells
game
you something
on the
about
planet.
Your swing and you're like, dude, I don't even care about that.
But
so,
you found something what you just said. You found something that for me, I would write down.
Okay.
Been spraying it all over the place. On 18, I told myself, I'm going to look at the ball for
right.
a, I mean, you said a couple seconds longer. You can't, in golf, you can't. You're moving
right.
way too fast for that.
Right.
That much longer.
No, 100%.
And you striped it.
And some days I'll go out and hit it really well.
I would just fucking wear that out. Wear yeah. that out. 18, these guys, you know, you got them one down, you got them one up, and they're chirping. You let them chirp, maybe you chirp back, and then right before you hit it, you commit, make up your mind. I'm
right.
looking at this for a second longer, and I've seen the result. I believe it's going to come.
Yep.
Even if you hit it way left in the water, whatever. That's something to continuously do and continuous, you know, find a way to build that. So where, let's say, I mean,
you're gonna
be all right. That's something you try to accrue. So
problem.
Like, hey, you're on 18
that.
And
No,
whatever.
And I'm with you. And I do have that self-belief. I think the other thing that makes me like not pay attention sometimes, if we're just going around hitting the ball, we're not gambling on anything, there's nothing
sure.
on the line, I'll like-
Brutal.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I kind of just like fade away. And this was kind of like a match like
sucks.
That, where it's just like,
yeah.
this
sucks.
Is fun
really
hanging
genius.
Out with everybody, but there's nothing that's like driving me to
yeah,
focus.
Give me some juice.
Right, exactly. Because I need
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And without that, I do- Like my mental tick right now is that I feel like almost my game is plateaued. Like some days I'll have really good days, but I'm kind of in this area where I haven't really seen the drop that I saw in like the early years of playing golf. And so that's almost what I'm searching for. Maybe it's just to keep the
yeah.
consistency.
But your skill
up.
Hasn't plateaued because you're still as active. You know what I mean? You're still
yeah.
hitting the ball as far as you possibly can. You're still,
right.
you still possess the skill. I think what he's saying is that maybe.
A little
what
bit
we're
more
all
focus
doing is
would
our focus
all
probably plateaued. Like my focus in high school
like,
golf was
right.
fucking
no,
gone.
No, no, this particular round, I was talking at the top of my swing to my buddies
yeah.
and just like
yeah, that doesn't count,
right?
But it also that. Doesn't have to like people mistake that for like oh slow play. Like I hate slow play, but like you need to no, you just need to have a brief thought. Like
right.
there is somebody asked me, I can't remember where it was. What's the I was somewhere today. What's the best feeling in golf? For me, and I think anybody that would answer it truthfully, it is thinking about what you want a golf ball to do, visualizing what you want that golf ball to do, then stepping in there and executing it exactly how you thought it and visualized it.
Yep.
There's no better feeling in the world.
That's
know?
Nice.
Like
I mean,
just,
I think I
just
remember,
take 5 seconds to right. think about how you want to hit this shot. And
I think
then,
I those,
get, and then take five after to garner some feedback from it. Okay, I tried to hit a low draw there. I pulled it and it overdrew. Now you may need some also some professional assistance to at some point if that's something that continuously comes up. But at least you can go to somebody like, hey, man, will you take a look at my swing or give me a quick walk-by lesson? Like, I'm pulling all of my draws. I need to start my draws right. Like, most people, most of the PGA pros or, you know, people that look at it, like, they don't get that shit. They will love you. It's yeah. like, oh, yeah. I mean,
totally.
I've gotten some feedback here.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you guys do this show and listen to comment and, you know, all this stuff. Listen, you know, what do people want? New topics? Like, you're listening to feedback. You're not going
to
be any good.
Don't want me to stop talking so much.
You're not going to be any
cutting
good.
Cutting people off like I just did with you.
That's fine. I mean, I cut people. I've cut you guys off, each and every one of you off today, too.
Yeah. No, but I'm no, saying that's the feedback. I'm yeah. saying, like, we yeah. do. We do see a lot of that stuff. And, yeah.
I'm not any good at golf if I don't take my own feedback.
You have to, yeah.
Right. It's the same to. Thing.
It is true, though, about that point that you made of, like, if you think of a shot, visualize and hit it. Like, I remember those shorts on, like, shots on a short list of, like, holy hell, I just did that.
Yeah.
And it is
nothing.
Some of the best feeling in the
world. Dude, Maria Fassi was telling – I asked her how she was visualizing the putt or how she was reading the putt. And she was walking from the ball down to the hole and kind of looking down at everything. And she goes, I watched the ball in my head go into the hole.
Yeah, I do
and
the same thing.
It felt like a Pixar movie where she was walking by like the future ball that was going to be rolling there. It was like mind blowing because yeah. I could see a ball rolling as she was doing it. It was nuts.
That gets into this, like you can see. When I'm really good at it, I truly believe that you can almost see what my mind is thinking, right? Like
I could see yeah.
that same thing. Like she was walking you through how she holds a putt, how she sees a ball roll, how she's watching it. And like you can then also, so you have that ability. Like give it a try.
Well, I need to see a psychiatrist.
Okay, well that you can see them, but they're not going to help you play good golf.
See, we were thinking about that. Do you think like a sports psychiatrist would help me? I mean, you're helping me right now.
More sane person.
Well, that's true. That's true.
True.
I mean, you're essentially walking me through my first like sure. meeting or yeah. my you know my first diagnosis. You're seeing this is eye opening to yeah. me that all it really does take is a little bit of focus and you build off of that. I mean, we have zero focus.
But you have to know that a little bit before this.
We don't know that though.
There's got to be like a thought or two in your brain.
There's definitely a thought like, hey, I have a 7-iron. I can hit a 7-iron 165 right. yards and that's what I'm going to do right now. Like yeah. that's my thought, but I'm not thinking okay, well, like,
but well, no. So that's fine. See how you do. Now you gave yourself one measurement. Did you hit it 165 yards? If you had 165, did it come up hole high?
Right.
Okay. No, it came up 4 yards short, but you hit a good shot. What do you do the next time?
Do I take a six?
Or now experiment with, in theory, draws will go a little further or maybe bounce up right. to 165.
Right, right.
Next time that comes around, all right, I'm going to draw this one in there next time.
Okay.
If that comes up short, take a 6-iron, right? Like if you're not that specific, there's something, if you tell yourself to just do one thing, you can still measure whether or not you were any good at it and gain feedback from it, right? Like,
and I think amateur golf, like for us, I'm not remembering that shit, dude.
I know.
Like,
stop just
sure,
swinging.
I'm thinking, oh, I came up short with the 7-iron last time, and like we've all done this. Like, let me give it a little bit more this time. You're not yeah. actually trying to make. I'm not problem. I'm never problem yeah. solving on
and
the golf course.
And what we do is we pretty much we step up, we look and aim pretty much straight. And then we just swing.
Yeah.
Like we're not thinking shot shape very often. We're not thinking like
I'm the worst wedge player on the planet and I keep hitting wedges.
Well, so you
that right there that just shows you how fucking stupid I am.
Psychiatrist about that.
Like I refuse to learn a different shot. I clearly can't hit a wedge off of a tight line.
Did TaylorMade give you a 5-wood or a hybrid?
Yeah, they've given me all of it. They've even told me to stop hitting it. They're like, here's this new MG3, don't hit it.
So
yeah,
don't.
Let's say it's a 365.
Dude, I've played with guys that have, you know, I mean, it's golf's fucking hard. You're gonna
Tiger
have
Woods
some
went through chipping yips.
Yeah,
I've been doing it for 5 years.
I've played
my
with some guys
back.
That have struggled, and they just take their fucking hybrid out.
Dude, Kevin Kisner,
and they hit it to 2 feet. Like,
right?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you can. Yes, I'm sure in your deep down in there. You would love to be like, bro, did you see that shot? I got up and down on 18, that little spinny, cutty wedge.
Oh,
like,
it's my dream.
Oh. Sure.
I did
but
it to him
at Bandon.
It's
yeah, the same. It hasn't come out it's yet. The same fucking result as if you putt it up there to 2 feet and tap it in.
It's also, it's a result. It was a shot. What we're teasing right now was a shocking. Was it the 17th hole at Bandon?
16th.
16th hole at Bandon.
Someone thought something was in the bag more than when you had that shot in front of you.
I had a nippy little wedge off a tight lie to the left of the fucking 16 abandoned with the ocean behind it. And I had, he was in tight.
16 is the short one. Yeah.
He's about to just tap in for birdie. I had to make an up and down. I'll leave the video for the rest.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that.
I got a question, though.
Did you
for
keep
you?
It out of the ocean?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, we're good.
So about putting.
Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Because I struggle with putting. And actually, I have that same belief of like, yeah, you know, I'll just kind of like,
sure,
if it's over 10 feet, oh, this would be fun to make. And I at least have a positive mindset.
Okay.
Where I struggle, because it's like the only final shot in golf is like a 5-footer and in.
Yeah.
Because that's the one where you should make it. Like you should complete the task at hand. And that changes my psyche, and I stink at making 5-footers. So I have to change that mindset. But I don't want to have the mindset of like, oh, this would be fun to make, because it is.
Yeah.
Put it out there, make it.
I would love to sit here and tell you like, wow, you know, you don't expect to make it, all that shit. Like, right, that's just bullshit.
Yeah. Right.
From 5 feet, I'm pissed if I fucking
miss, right.
Right. Like, most of the people that I play golf with that are not professional golfers will struggle to hold putts from, it's usually, it's about 5 feet to 8, 9, 10, 12 feet. Oof. Because they do not hit it the appropriate speed. It's not too soft or too short, but at that, in that area, let's call it 5 to 12 feet, you have to be exact or very close to exact on both read and speed. Like you cannot, from 3 feet, you're close enough to the hole, you can pull it and smash it and get it wrong and it still goes in.
Right.
From 5 feet, we're starting, you know, 8 feet, okay, I got to be a little bit more exact. Those are harder putts to make. And then, yeah, there, I think there's an argument to be like a 30 footer is sometimes easier to make than a 15 footer because like, I can just see more of the environment. Like I can just kind of like see my ball roll longer. I would say work on speed and just like,
how about like a 4-footer though? What's your mindset on like, is it, I'm going to make this, or what is your mindset going into like a 3.5, 4-footer?
I expect to make it, but there's not really a mindset. I just decide what I want to do.
Yep.
And I just walk in there and hit it.
Yep.
Like okay, this, you know, and it's kind of speed, right? Like if I hit this soft and it's breaking right to left, I could play it just outside the hole.
Yeah.
If I want to hit this firm, I could play it, you know, right edge, right center.
Right.
And then just fucking decide and hit it.
Just do it.
Like I still, part of my routine, the finish is like, yeah, I'm going to make this, but I have a better chance of making it because I've already decided what I want to do. And there's times where you're going to get it wrong or you're going to hit a bad putt. And okay, well, it's not going to go in if you didn't hit a putt. Sometimes from 4 feet, in theory, that's kind of close enough where you can fuck it up and it still goes in. But I guess over time I've just, and there's, I mean, a 6-footer for birdie is a lot different than a 6-footer for par.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah.
What's, who it's made like, the oh, rule yeah, on
I
that? Mean,
I've hit 2 good shots into this par,
right.
Par 4. I need to make this birdie.
Right.
And I try to catch myself every time. It's like, no, just decide on what you want to do
and
walk in there and do it.
Take the emotion out.
Let's just see like, what happens. But it's fucking impossible.
Right.
It's just, I mean, it's impossible.
Can't do it.
So I don't know. Come up with and it's not even really come up with a routine. Just make a decision. Like,
yeah, I like that.
If I want to smash just this into the back of the hole, do
right,
it.
Right. Just do you.
Yeah. But it's just go literally, I equate it to shooting a free throw. I mean, I played some high school basketball. I was no good. But like,
couldn't Steph get that big body in the paint.
No, I set good screens and I blocked.
Yeah, I bet you had a screen. Yeah. I bet you had a hell of a screen.
But everybody got taller and faster.
Back
and
that ass up. No chance. One's fucking stopping you.
Oh, yeah.
Back it in, dish it out.
Little pick at the point guard on top of the
great
cage.
Great post passer.
Yes.
Coach literally, quote,
the triangle.
Ryan Pfeiffer, quote, you are a great post passer.
Fuck yeah. That's nice.
What was I? Fuck, what was I?
Oh, dude, you know so much about
golf. Yeah, let's go eat that food.
Steph Curry. Okay. Cool. Steph Curry.
Not nothing.
What do you think that guy thinks about when he shoots a free throw?
I always think about that because it's so automatic for those guys for the NBA.
He looks at the rim and fucking throws it.
You think so? Yeah. You don't think he's thinking exactly same?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I bet he looks at the rim and throws it. Wow. And he just knows all those hours, all that time he spends warming up.
It's just going to go
Everybody
in.
Comes and watches the show before the game. He just knows all that shit I've done. I'll make
he's
this.
So good.
Well,
he's so good.
He's an example. Steph Curry might shoot free throws better than you putt.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, ever golf with him?
No, I've not. I've not. He plays golf pretty well too. And I, you know what? I'd be willing to bet that he putts the eyes out of it because I bet he looks at the hole and hits it. Just like being an athlete, right? Just react.
Roll it into the hole.
Just react. Now, the reaction's made easier with some practice and some decisions.
Right.
You're not going to react if you're stuck between two. Like, I could hit this soft. I could hit this hard. I yell at my pro-am guys. Like, if I'm reading putts, I'm going to tell you exactly how hard to hit it too. Don't you dare give me shit if you blow this 6 feet by.
Right.
Yeah, some of them are like, well, it didn't break. Are you shitting me? The ball's still rolling. Like, of course it didn't break.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Oh, my God.
It's a beautiful game.
You know so much about golf, it must be fucking maddening to be you, right? Where it doesn't always work all the time.
Yeah.
Like when you get to the level of a Harry Higgs, I can't imagine. It's so frustrating for us. Yeah. And we go out on weekends and play.
I can't turn it off.
But like you know so much about the swing, how to read putts, how to make putts, how to fucking get the ball in the hole. And then like,
play really good golf,
then sometimes
like
it just doesn't work. Yeah, and then you're just like, what the fuck? But every golfer, Tiger Woods probably sits there and is like, what the fuck? I'm Tiger Woods. I can't fucking get the ball in the hole.
Well, I think that's why he changed his swing.
Right.
It's like,
right.
I need something else. I need another.
Just golf in general drives you fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Woo. I mean, Rory ripped his shirt in half the other day. Like, he's just like, sometimes you
anytime you're exposing your nipples, it's
drives you
things
crazy.
Went bad.
Yeah, at least I don't do that.
No.
Never.
We're talking about a better body, though.
Me, yeah.
Dude, you do. You look fucking amazing, though. From when we first started and like first met, you were like, oh, man, Harry Higgs, a jolly big fella. Now
I could do. I could do a little better. I was on a nice stretch before Kiowa.
Dude, when we saw you at Kiowa, you still look fucking fantastic. Yeah. But Kiowa was eye-opening. I was like,
not thin, but.
Dude, you were thin,
thin.
I was like, what are you doing? I couldn't believe the video.
I did some intermittent fasting, so I just took off breakfast. No booze.
This guy listens to Joe Rogan.
No booze. No Joe Rogan.
No.
His podcasts are way too long.
4 hours.
This feels like it's going to be 6 hours.
It's going to be a long one.
But this is way more entertaining than Joe Rogan.
Yeah. He goes way too long.
We all listened to a Joe Rogan episode, and then he stopped eating meals. That's
I don't eat breakfast.
I did the intermittent fasting, and then I just did – I did no booze for a month.
Huge.
Which is – I mean, that's all that matters. And then just proteins, fats, and fibers. So, and not too many. Like, don't overload on chicken. Healthy fats, avocado, olive oil. Just put that shit on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fibers being a vegetable, which I am lucky. I actually like vegetables, especially green vegetables.
Steamed broccoli. I like that a lot.
Yeah,
broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprouts.
Asparagus is a little weird because when you take a piss, I cannot contemplate what's going on.
Whenever it starts messing around with the fluids coming out of you, it's weird.
It's a little weird.
Also, pineapple. Just to bring that back. That's a nice little thing.
We would get there when we were talking.
And then I looked around the room. I said, I don't know if it's a time and the place.
You know, it's a sneaky good one. An artichoke.
Love artichokes. Love artichokes.
Stuffed artichokes.
Love artichokes.
Start making those things nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
I had some really good fried artichokes, which are healthy.
That's what I like. I like when we start.
I haven't done that.
When we start fucking around with the vegetables. We do these. What do we do? We do these fried zucchini strips at Borelli's. Nice. And it's just,
like
what
fries.
Are we doing here? It's a French fry.
Just frying stuff. You're frying everything.
Yeah, you dip it in the sauce.
That's why
there.
It's a world-class establishment.
Thank you very much.
You got to try all this stuff out.
That's right. I love it.
Best part about all this bullshit is I just told him last night, I just pounded a bunch of Taco Bell on my way to the hotel.
Yeah.
Also, to tell you a guy, to show you who Harry Higgs is, we were supposed to have like 15 to like 20 minutes with him tonight.
Been like an hour.
I'll figure something else out.
Yeah. How much? 91 minutes.
Holy shit.
This is very on brand for me, but this has certainly been one of the more enjoyable. Like, it's cool when I start talking, you guys all like perk up and listen.
Well,
it's just kind of cool. Sometimes you just get the question, and it's just like, all right, well, do I want to give this guy the goods, or do I want to just give him the runaround?
We're obsessed with this shit, man.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome.
We're trying to learn from you, too.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. It's cool, right? Like, I'm trying to dumb it down as best as I can. Not because of who you guys are, but because of me. Like I can talk about this shit all day. I can talk in circles about this stuff.
Right.
I confuse myself sometimes.
Right.
I remember, so I have had one lesson in my life, but I was on the range and I was playing with a couple guys who were really good. And he saw me and I think I was tugging or he's like, oh, you just got to strengthen your grip. So I literally just gripped the thing tighter.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it. He's
as hard as you can hold the club.
So so that's the level you're talking to in terms of what we know about the swing.
No, that's a thing. I was struggling Thursday at Sea Island, missing everything short and right. Weak and right. And yes, there is a way to fix it more dynamically, but in the middle of a golf tournament, it's probably not going to work. So I did. I strengthened my grip. And for, nine holes, I played great. And then Al didn't tell me there was out of bounds. And
we're past it, though. We're past that, right?
I love you, Al. I love you, Al.
Fifth reference
fucking
in this show.
Fucking Al. Be better.
I want to give Al a hug.
Al needs it. I thought I'd be easier to work for, and I'm not.
That's hilarious.
Turns out, not easy.
Body size, is he big?
He's smaller.
Oh, boy.
That's tough.
Oof.
Smaller, but I can say with certainty he is smarter.
Okay.
Oh.
So.
Must be very intelligent because you're a smart guy.
I have my moments.
Okay. It's big of you to say, too, after he missed that out of bounds call. You know what I mean? So.
But, boy, that read, the balls on him for the read at the PGA.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's also awesome that you went with it, too. It's like that's the biggest putt of your life, I assume.
Well, and I was like, fuck, I preach all the time. Like, just make a fucking decision. Right. Let's just decide.
Right.
And I was like. Yeah, I'll go with him just in case he's wrong.
That's sick. Oh, you're
Hoop
a sick
that bitch, man.
Oh, you are a sick man. I ruined it. Everything I said. You are a sick and twisted man.
But I made it.
Going to Augusta, baby.
Yeah, but it's all good. He was right. I made it cool. If he was wrong.
I wanted to kiss him. It was like, in that moment, it was like, wow, dude. Like, that was his evolution because he'd been just over a year. It's like, holy shit, I could not – if it was me, and I would have clammed up. If I had asked him that, if the revolves were reversed, no chance I say that.
Have the stones to say that in the moment
keep the speed up. Yeah,
Other side, different break. That's
right edge.
Call.
And there was no little gulp in his throat. Like he said it with fucking
– No. And he has some gulp when I hit him offline. Four gets him. He gets voice cracks on four all the time. It's fucking hilarious.
Really?
I sometimes want to just hit it offline just so he gets No, bro. He manned up.
Awesome.
That's big.
Good shit.
Right edge, firm, in the hole.
Because you were scrambling, you said, that whole way in.
Yeah, I hit the 10th green, and I missed every green
after that.
That
course is so hard. It's like –
So hard. But it was
– And the finish, because the 18th play is a par four for you guys? That's mammoth.
I don't know what that – I mean, it's
– mammoth.
Yeah.
That's a five. That's a six.
We get so lucky in it. Throughout the year, especially there, that people like to show up and watch golf tournaments because they put those fucking grandstands all the way up the left side of the hole.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, I don't even really have to try to hit this. I'm just getting as hard as I can.
That's what Phil did, right?
As far left as I can. Yell for these people. I did it on Friday, and all these people are up there. Like, yo, hey, man, it bounced back. It bounced back. It's good. It's good now. It's like, no, I don't fucking want it to bounce back. I want to go up there, bring it back down, and drop it in this area where you guys have walked. It bounced back into 6-inch rough. Like, that shit ain't good, man.
Take it out of your pocket.
That's another thing. Like, how's this clown not know this? You know, like, clearly we're all just hitting it up at him. Like, we wanted to stay up there. What an idiot.
Why is he teeing it up right after? What is going on? I mean,
it was.
Guys like,
here comes another one.
Immediate. Whack. Four.
Al, you clear those pipes yet? We're about to launch one in.
Not accidental. I clear my pipes and I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Here we go.
Four.
Amazing.
Oh, shit. That's
absolutely amazing. Well, we appreciate it. We really do.
We got to eat some meat or something.
Yeah. We're all hungry, I think. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Listen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's our last show before Thanksgiving.
Wait a minute. When are we starting Christmas season?
Friday.
Friday? Holy shit. Huge we said we were going to be huge Christmas guys this year. I just want to get into the season. I don't know what it consists of. I don't know what it consists of. I just know that I'm going to take the season in. I feel like the season sometimes comes and goes with me.
I'm going to really decorate my apartment.
Yeah.
Even in Arizona. Like, I don't usually do that.
I'm going to watch all the movies.
Bullshit thing. Same.
Favorite Christmas movie?
We don't have time to go into that.
Christmas vacation, quickly.
Christmas vacation, yes. If I want to get into the Christmas spirit.
Elf.
Elf. Home Alone.
That's a good one. I'm a big Elf guy.
Probably Home Alone for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I'm a Home Alone.
Yeah.
They tried to remake it and it was trash.
Did they really?
Yeah, it sucks to say it's trash because it's made for kids. Like, you want to not, like, say that because, like, kids should try and enjoy it. It's really bad.
One of the best lines, though. A little full, a lot of sap. I mean, one of the all-time lines. That's the strange thing about it. A little full, a lot of sap.
Oh, God, that's good stuff.
All right, we'll be back next Tuesday. Everybody have a great holiday weekend. What?
He's just doing off?
No, the other one that is another Christmas movie, but is an all-time golf line, too. After you make, like, a 20, you say, wow, what a hole.
I like that one a lot when you arrive at a reveal on a hole.
That's good. Maybe I should have done that right before
that guy asked me about pineapple on my pizza. Yeah. And I wouldn't have been like,
you would have been,
I don't know, bro. Like, I think that's what I said. I don't know.
I looked at him and I wanted to be like,
who fucking cares, man? If you like pineapple on your pizza, order pineapple on your pizza.
Make a decision.
Yeah, we've learned a lot of things on this pod, and I want to thank you for stopping by and staying here for fucking 110 minutes. But the best thing that we learned on this podcast was that I'm going to forever say, you guys want this stock or you want it nasty? Yeah, that's a guarantee. It's an all-time story. Am I going to start saying that? I'm going to start saying that every time I step up to the team. That was an hour and a half ago.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you to Harry Higgs. Hit it hard.
Cheers, boys.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Thank you.
Hit it hard.
Hit it harder.
Yeah.
Hey. Do it nasty.
Hit it nasty. Whoa.